I made a decision that if my agenda was filled up with the people that paid me 50 Belgian francs, then I would double. So suddenly my agenda was over full. So then the next month I would say to people, look, it's 100. Nobody said no to it. And then I said, okay, till that was full. I was like, it's 200 now. And before I knew it, every 6 months I had to like double my price.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm so excited to bring a dear friend, an amazing author, and a leader in the field of feng shui, Marie Diamond. She is a returning guest to the show, is someone that has helped me optimize my life by looking at my environment. Now, I don't know if there's any practitioners of feng shui in the audience, but I will tell you, your environment affects you, period. And going with Marie Diamond, working with her app and the tools that she shares on how to optimize your life with the understanding that this is the missing part of the law of attraction. There is so much to learn and to do with this information that Marie is the best to do so. Now, today, I want to shift things up. I actually want to talk about Marie, the business, the person behind this thought leadership. I mean, you're on the Transformational Leadership Council. You've been impacting millions of lives. You're connected with the A-list celebrities and helping them optimize their environments. And I think a lot of people are curious to understand the journey that got there. So welcome back to the show, and it's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm excited about going back to LA. I heard you just recently relocated there.
Yeah, I did.
I want to kind of go back to the origins, though. I mean, you've been practicing and working in the field of feng shui, and I'd love to just go back to where did this all start? When was the origin of you getting into the field of feng shui and discovering this as a tool to bring into your life?
Well, when I go back, it all goes to that very important moment for me when I was 15 and I had a near-death experience after being run over by a truck. And then talking after that experience with some advisors, and one of them was my spiritual teacher. And I asked him, like, what did I do wrong to attract that? You know, I really wanted to know. I'm quite analytical. Even I'm very spiritual. I'm very analytical. And he said, like, you have bad feng shui. So I never heard of that. So he told me it was my environment. And indeed, the environment I was in, I was very much bullied at school, had no friends. So I changed the rooms. So I went from a room that was on the north side, where there's not a lot of sunlight coming in, to the west side, where I saw the sunset every night. And so it was like my whole mood, my whole energy shifted. And, you know, the bully stopped bullying me. I got my first boyfriend, you know, things like this, right? Just lovely experiences. And I started also to really think about, you know, I got a message on the other side. And I didn't know what that really meant. But the message was that I was here to enlighten more than 500 million people. Now, you have to understand, when you're a 15-year-old, you have no clue what that means. You know, now, today, I would set up a TikTok account or something, right? Or a podcast. But I didn't even know what the word enlightenment meant at that time. You know, Catholic background, we don't talk about things like this. And so, but I just knew it was to make a difference. So for me, making difference, I was like being part of a community. So I started volunteering for the church I belong to, for the youth movement. Like every day I could do something positive for somebody else. Now, of course, I had no idea that one day I would have a business and making money, you know, along the way, doing this great change for people. But at that moment, it was just voluntary work, just, you know, doing my hours of service every week. And then at a certain point, I thought like, well, I need to become, if I really want to reach millions of people, I need to do a profession that can reach millions of people. So I remember going back between being a psychologist and being a lawyer, because I thought like, if I become a psychologist, I do really good work, but it's like one-to-one. And I kind of like, you know, I can work with 8 people a day. How is that going to reach millions? So I kind of thought that was not the right direction. So I became a lawyer that ultimately would then, you know, work internationally for the United Nations. And I did do that, not for the United Nations, but work for the European government, the Belgian government, trying to make a difference through law and order, right? And that, of course, reached millions of people indirectly, but I was still missing that one-to-one situation. And so when I was 31, I really got very clear that I needed to set up a center and share with people my knowledge about feng shui, meditation, your coaching, because I already was coaching people since I was like 25. People would come to me. I would say they could come out of the woodwork, to be honest, to ask me like, oh, Marie, you can see energy. Can you look at my future? Can you help me with this, with my blockages? So I was like, I didn't even know, Jason, there was a business around that or that you could be trained for it or get certifications. Like, I never got a certification. This is the truth. But I just practiced right away, right? It's like, and people were happy and they referred people. And at a certain point, I thought like, you know, I need to really get to, you know, get some money for this because I put a lot of hours in this. So at that time, I remember I was about 27 and then things start shifting into a business mindset. Yeah.
I love this history. And there's a couple of things I want to dig into here because like a lot of people are finding themselves in a situation where they're like, I want to impact the world for the greater good. And it sounds like you had that moment of like, yes, this is something I want to do, but you didn't know how yet. And I think that there's almost like an obsession right now that we have to know the wow, the how, and then you just find yourself stuck looking at the different hows. But it seems like you had a bit of a surrendering, or at least you went into a lot of different directions. And I kind of wanted to unpack that a little bit because people are coming to you for coaching, but I'm seeing people doing it completely different, which is they get a certification, but they don't have people coming to them. They're going to others saying, please, please, can I coach you? And it seems like the energy is completely upside down. So how did that happen?
Well, it's really interesting because since I had that accident, every morning, that would be my prayer. So I would literally say, God, the universe, I am here to enlighten more than 500 million people. Show me how. That was my prayer. And I was like, not searching for it. I was like, you know, I was, you know, Christian from background. And I was like, you know, God will show me the way. That was like my total belief system, right? And having a near-death experience and being on the other side, you're like much more surrendering than I think normal people. Let's put it this way. And so for me, I just would look who came my way, right? And so I remember, you know, I was giving advice already to people. And then somebody said, like, I really would love you to see you regularly, you know? And really how that happened was very interesting. I was working for the government and every morning I would go earlier in than all my colleagues and I would go and stand in front of each person's office and I would do a blessing. I was doing a prayer. Like, I knew they were not always so positive people, but I would just send some energy towards them. And it's actually one of the people that was working early in the office and she was the coffee lady. I mean, she would go around with the coffee. After a while, she's like, Marie, what are you doing? And I said, like, well, I'm blessing everybody, right? And she's like, oh, do you do something special? I said, well, I meditate and I send positive vibes out to everyone so they would get better along and so on. And she's like, oh, you know, I have my sister-in-law and she's really, really in a bad situation. Could you have a conversation with her? So she was my first client, right? And I did that for free because I was like, yeah, of course, I'll take some, you know, an hour off my time. And then she was so happy with it. She sent all her family members. And this is how I got into the field of coaching, by just being myself, you know, to be honest. I had even no idea that was called coaching, right? I just called it, I was doing some energy work, right? I had no idea what that it meant. And I'd start doing that in the weekends. And before I knew it, and then, you know, I started really getting that I needed to ask some money for it. I took a fifth job. So that means a Friday I was off. So Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I was start doing these personal sessions. But like, I had no idea others were doing that. I was just doing like following through on, I don't know, my own energy, you know.
Oh my God. So I really wanted to expand that. So I'm so grateful you shared that, because there seems to be that part of the story that a lot of times we don't realize how impactful it was, where it's like it came to you, that you didn't force it. There was some referrals that happened, which put you on the indication that, oh my God, the people are loving this and there's more people coming my way. And you mentioned at 27 years old, that's when it really turned into a business. So I'd be curious to know, and since you're on a Selling with Love, do you remember the first person you asked to pay money for this, and what was going through your mind?
I do. It was really funny, because I would say at a time, just give me whatever you feel is right. Yeah. And so people would give me, I mean, this was in Belgium, so it was in Belgian francs, right? So it was like 20 Belgian francs, 50 Belgian francs, what it would be now like $1 to $2, to be honest. It's very cheap, right? And then I would always say, give whatever you feel is right, you know? And I thought, like, oh, this is cool, right? I already got a well-paid as a lawyer, by the way, right? So I didn't need too much extra. And so one day a woman came to me and she had a kilo of coffee beans to give to me. Now, I'm allergic to coffee. So I got these coffee beans and I became so pissed off. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even do anything with that. I have to give it to my husband to make his coffee. Like, and then I was like, okay. And I said to her, this is the last time, you know, I don't want to see you anymore. If you want to come back, you pay 50 Belgian francs to see me, who is literally $2.50 right now, you know, inflation and so on, right? And she was like, oh, okay. And I set my boundaries, literally, right? So she came back and then she said, like, oh, you know what? I really love it so much. Let me give you and pay you up front for 3 sessions. And she paid me 150 Belgian francs, right? Now would be like 150 euros probably. And I was like, oh, I can ask more. I mean, I had no idea what the rates were, what the prices were. I was just suddenly like so pissed off I didn't get anything paid. That I really became an entrepreneur that moment. And I still remember her because she's still one of my friends until today.
You know, me and you have a very different relationship with coffee. If somebody would pay me with a kilo of coffee beans, I would be like, you get all my bonuses. But this is so amazing because, you know, there's so much fear and resistance when it comes to asking for money. And then it's very difficult. A lot of people I've spoken to, and I'm seeing this in your pattern as well, a lot of the stuff you started doing for free, and that allowed you to kind of refine your craft, get the experience. And then it's almost like the client was like, oh my God, I need to give you money after you've made the decision to set the boundaries. And that's also something I just want to highlight, because so many times there's two sides that I see in people getting into this field. One is you do a bunch of work for free, but you can never get out of getting anybody to make a payment. And in your case, it's when you set the boundary, the universe responded. And I find that amazing. Now, I see the other side of the coin, which is people that are like, I deserve to be paid high ticket immediately, but I haven't put in the reps and I haven't gotten maybe the experience. And I'd want to speak to that side of the coin of what you've seen, because I know you certify a lot of people in Feng Shui certifications to allow them to do the work. I want to kind of speak to that. Earning the right to pay, what do you see as the kind of journey most people need to think about before they get to a point that you should be okay to ask for money? Do you feel like there's a graduation, a minimum work requirement, or maybe none at all?
Well, I just want to go back a little bit to my own journey on that level. It was like I made this decision that if my agenda was filled up with the people that paid me 50 Belgian francs, then I would double. So I made that decision to myself. So suddenly my agenda was over full and I was like, there's no space anymore. So then the next month I would say to people, look, it's 100. Yeah. And they were like, nobody said no to it. And then I said, okay, till that was full. I'm like, it's 200 now. Right. So it's like, you know, I did law school, so we learned also economics. So it's like, you know, demand and, you know, an offer, right? And I was like, well, when I'm finished, you know, with that amount of people, then I will go and double. And I started doing that. And before I knew it, I was just like, every 6 months, I had to like double my price. But, you know, I always, when I work with people that have done trainings with me and they're like, when can we ask something? I tell them always, look, take 10 clients for free. Yeah. Just don't go beyond that. Yeah, get yourself like 10 clients. And from that moment on, I always tell them, look, the first year, this is what I would suggest you ask for a consulting. Yeah. So I give them some indications, right? And then, you know, people that have studied this work, it's a long process of working. They do a lot of practice during the certification already, then take 10 clients for free. And the only thing you ask for as a return is a testimonial to get on your social media or, you know, on your website. At least you have some testimonials. And then, you know, start asking, this is the first year. And then if you have done that, you know, you can go to this. So I kind of indicate them because I felt so lonely myself, and because there was nobody telling me when and where and what to ask, that I'm kind of guiding people. And sometimes I see some of my consultants like, sweetheart, you're already doing this for 5 years at this price. You know, when are you upping your price? You know, but also you need to find a balance. If nobody pays you for that price in your country, then perhaps the price is a little bit too high. Perhaps you have to find a balance, because if somebody in Mexico is getting paid, the wages are lower, right, than perhaps in the U.S. So you need to find that balance for sure. And sometimes I say to people, just, you know, let's have a conversation and see what is the right balance for you. But if nobody signs up for you, then probably you have not enough done, you know, practice. Yeah. Or perhaps you also ask too much, because sometimes people tell me, yeah, I want to get paid right away, $5,000. I'm like, to be honest, I wouldn't pay that to you. And I tell them very honestly, you know, I said, you know how long it took me to get that paid, you know, $5,000, right, for this kind of work? You know, you need to already have done the practice, the hours. You need to already really integrate it, this information. Because I know right now there's a lot of like this, I don't know, certifications. And they're like, after you've done that, you can ask this. And I'm like, can they? I sometimes question that, to be honest. Yeah, because I wouldn't pay it, because they are too green behind the ears, as we say that in my language, you know, they haven't integrated the information yet. Yeah. And perhaps they have learned a lot. And of course, they are saying in certifications like, yeah, if you pay so much certification, you'll be able to pay that. But, you know, a lot of these people don't make that kind of money, because you have to show a certain level of maturity in your field. Yeah, that's what I do believe in, right?
I want to take a moment to introduce you to a tool that has allowed me to live an extraordinary life that has balance, and I find growth happening in all areas of my life. This is a tool called Lifebook, and it's something that I've been using for over half a decade, where I have clarity on the vision that I have for every area of my life. Not to find myself out of balance or overworked or stressed or unclear about what I want, but getting crystal clear on everything that I want in every aspect of my life. This is a program that I've had a chance to participate in, and I continuously review year after year and connect with peers where we talk about it, set bigger vision, bigger goals. And it's by no coincidence that I get to live an extraordinary life with hosting this podcast, writing my book, and doing incredible things in my personal and on my financial goals that I've set. Almost 1 million people have completed Lifebook themselves. And if you haven't been exposed to this, I would invite you to click on sellingwithlove.com/Lifebook. And this allows you to gain instant clarity on what you really want in life. There's a free training that you can listen to, a masterclass that you can instantly watch by just choosing a time. And you can go ahead and see what happens when you look at your life in 12 different dimensions and you follow the proven 4-step framework. This is one of the most important programs I've ever been through in my life. And I continuously get a chance to review it. I get to teach it to others. And I would love for you to experience the same. If you're a fan of Selling with Love, you'll absolutely love what you're going to experience in this masterclass. It's completely free. It's done also in partnership with Mindvalley, which is a company that I have so much respect for, and I'm excited to invite you all to go check it out. A link is found in the description, but just go to sellingwithlove.com/lifebook. That's LIFEBOOK. Go and check it out. You won't regret it. It's the most important framework that allowed me to grow. And now let's continue with the show. First of all, I just I'm so happy that you're giving this sobering advice. We have a funny quote here, and it is slightly offensive, but I think it's worth saying, is there's a prayer that we say as a joke is, Lord, please give me the self-confidence of a 21-year-old life coach. Because there's a huge amount of overconfidence you have in your early 20s. And I speak that even for myself, being a kind of marketing and sales consultant. In my 20s, I was so self-confident that I knew everything. I had the Midas touch, and only to realize very shortly after that it's like, oh, wait, I don't know as much as I think I know. There's so much I don't know and I needed to work on. And so the second thing I really like about what you share is a system of doubling your prices only when you get busy. I had this moment where I hadn't figured out my own product market fit. I hadn't had my offer set up, and there was nothing that was as stressful or feeling demoralizing as not being busy enough. And in your case, you found yourself being able to climb with your busyness and raise your prices. I hated the fact when I had not enough busyness with work, it almost becomes a downward spiral. Nobody wants to work with you and you're not busy. And so finding that initial momentum and almost like priming the pump, you could say, to get the initial clients coming in, keeping you busy. And now I find it so interesting is at the time where I'm the most booked, the most people want to work with me. It's funny how that works. And I know in your situation, you're definitely at a point like that because you've kept doubling and you still have a backlog of people that want to work with you.
Well, you know, after having these one-to-one sessions and I started becoming aware, I did not have enough time for everything, right? So that's when I started going and working for groups, you know, and did seminars because, first of all, not everybody could afford my prices anymore. That was one thing. But at the same time, they still needed some of the information. So I would then do like ticket sales for a seminar. And before I knew it, I saw 3,000 people a month. And that's a very small country to see that. And it was like, wow, there's this information. And then I started like, okay, I can't do this myself anymore. So then I started training people to take over some of the classes because it suddenly just opened up. And it was also very important. And we and I have talked about that a lot. It's like, if you work with one person, we work with a group, you know, you need to be such a generosity of heart and mind, you know? I would always give more time and more energy, and people love that generosity and, you know, going the extra mile for my clients. And then I had this basic group of people that then after a while I had to say like, my God, you have to have a waiting list of 6 months. Like I didn't want people to have that. So then start training others, you know, and that's really interesting because you're like, I do this naturally. I've never been trained before. So now I had to like train people, right? And before I knew it, these trainings were full, right? So it was like, then I had to ask somebody else to do the trainings for me, even to train, you know, the people to take over the sessions. So I really have to be honest, nobody gave me any feedback how to do it. There was no system like this in Belgium. I mean, I didn't know the systems in the USA. I had no idea about all of that, right? I just figured it out along the way, to be honest, because I was always thinking, how can I reach more people? That was like my mantra, right? You know, show me how. And then I just would get ideas like, oh, I could do a certification program. I could do this. How do I see it? Oh, I'll teach them. At that time, it was not online, right? I was like, okay, I'll do 12 Saturdays. And I'm like, no, I would never do that again. Like 12 Saturday certification. My God, it's like crazy. But hey, that was the way it was at that time. And as I then was going more and more into other countries, I was like, okay, each country has to have somebody holding the space for me and taking care of the people there. So of course, when internet came in, a lot of things changed. And before internet, it was still the conferences. So I was like on the calls, right? It's just like, I always went with these new ideas and practicing it. And then just coming up with prices. I mean, literally, I would just meditate about this. I had no idea if that was marketing. I didn't have marketing ideas. It's just like, it was on the fly, like things happened, right? And then I would like, okay, how much would I charge for them? Go in meditation. That's the price, you know? And I would always trust that these prices were right. Yeah, and then if it was so many people, I was like, okay, we'll double the prices. That's kind of always been my motto, to be honest. And it's like one of the things when people go into certification with me, I would tell them not, you have to wait till everything is full. But if you have like 10, 20 clients that pay you that amount, then I think you're ready for a little bit higher, right? So, but making sure that, you know, if things don't work out, it's perhaps because you're overcharging or you're under-delivering. I don't know. You need to have a really good look at yourself sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sometimes the time in the mirror might be some of the hardest things you need to face, because I had another person come on the show, which basically quoted that, well, people like to blame sales and marketing as to why they don't have success, but the real problem is your product sucks. And it was a very bold statement, but there's things to look into on how you're delivering, which actually begs the question. I know that obviously in your case, you speak specifically of feng shui. I know you do dowsing as well, and you certify a lot of individuals to practice these methodologies. But I'd be curious to know from your perspective, when you give these trainings, and although you haven't went through the traditional route, you've obviously picked up on a lot of the successful tactics and ways of doing business. What are some of the things you do in your certification that aren't directly related towards teaching feng shui, but allows them to be successful as entrepreneurs? Because obviously that's a big part of your support that you give them as well.
Yeah. So one of the things I always make sure that for the people that are really certifying, I take an hour off my time to really listen to their mindset, you know, seeing like what are their goals, of course, if their feng shui is right. But just like, what is the vision they have? I see a lot of times they do certification, but they have no vision for the business they want to do, right? And it's like, I really ask the perhaps harder questions to like, yeah, but is this really the direction you want to go, right? It's like, for me, I'm not a person that does thousands of certified people. I don't want to do that. I could, because I have the system in place. But I really want people to ask the questions like, is this what I really want to put my time and energy in? And first of all, these people that then take on the certification, they have already a passion for it. They have done the work for a couple of years in their own home. Yeah. And if they just come like, oh, I've just done a basic course and I want immediately to get certified with Marie Diamond, we actually deny them that possibility. Yeah. Because ultimately, I don't want them to just buy a certification. I want them to really feel very passionate about it. You know, like I had this woman, and Spanish woman, a South American woman, she became a dentist. And she was like suddenly so passionate about feng shui and dowsing, did, you know, her home, the home from the family, the neighbors, like everybody started coming to her. And she's like, Marie, this is just basic, but I really, really would love to get my certified. And I said, what will you do with it? She said, yeah, I really want to train other people in my dentistry so I can really do this work, because it's my big passion. And then I said, yeah, okay, you can do the certification. So it's not like everybody can do the certification. I'm a little bit particular on that level. I really want to see their intention behind it, because I've seen there's too many times people have done all these kinds of certifications. You know, they have a wall of certification awards and papers. And when I see that, I'm always like cringing. I'm like, you know, they just got sold again on one thing. I don't want to sell them on something. Like, this is a price they have to pay when do a certification, but we make sure it's really your passion before you spend a few thousands of dollars on this, you know, because I don't believe that is fair towards people. Yeah. And so after people have done certification, we have a club. And so there's every 2 months, I'm coming online with the certified people. And I don't even charge them extra for it, because I just want them to be really good in what they do, right? And of course, then, you know, they keep going, they're making money, they feel happy with it. And of course, they stay great students of mine also, right? Because they want to continue the journey. I really want them to be inspired all the time. Not just like, oh, check, I've done another certification. That would just really hurt my soul and heart, to be honest.
I'm glad you bring this up, because I find that our current time has a crisis of vision. I think a lot of us haven't been taking the time to get clear on what a potential vision could be in a long term, that we're kind of looking for answers outside of us. And there's a lot of programs. And, you know, as a marketer, I know that I can position a product saying like, when you get this, you'll have crystal clear vision. And I think that's where the sale gets made for a lot of people that are just trying to find an answer. Now, if you're going into any kind of direction, I think there's a lot of self-work and answers that need to come from within before you go out there and just spend on certifications as the way to get you closer to a path. And I think that's something I've witnessed, I see, and I'm always excited and inspired when I hear of certain authors that are a little more restrictive on their programs so that it's not necessarily preying on our lack of vision, but really just enabling people that have decided that this vision is aligned with what they want.
Correct. And so now I don't do this conversation anymore, but I have somebody doing these conversations for me, right? Who is trained and certified and is like, you know, my number two in feng shui and dowsing. So that, you know, she has these conversations with them. Like, what is it that you want to get out of it? And sometimes we just say, it's just not the right fit, I think, for you, right? Sometimes people say like, I really want to learn this for myself. Okay, that's something else. But if people say, I really want to do that and to make income from it, you can, but it's, you know, you need to prepare for other things. You need to get yourself ready for marketing. And we give some information on that, but you know, I'm not a marketing specialist. I never learned marketing. You know, I just always did it spontaneous in my own way. And, but for me, very important is that the first rule in my team is we focus first on love. And I know that's why I love your, you know, selling with love, right? It's like we're focusing on love. We don't focus on the money. Yeah. And so if then they want to pay that, great. And they feel that's a love connection for them. Okay, that's good. And they see that could be giving love to others through this consulting. Great. But that is why I'm 30 years doing business in this field. And to be honest, that's the first rule, right? And that's why I have students like this person that paid for the first time 150 Belgian francs, right? Is still my student. Of course, we became friends on top of it, right? But yeah, I have people that are 10, 15, 20, 25 years following my work. And it's because the first value is not money. I don't want to sell them something. I want to make sure they experience love from what I teach them. Yeah. And I think that's the major shift that I think a lot of people out there need to still make.
I'm working on it, Mary.
I think you're doing pretty well. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'll take the compliments. And one thing I forgot to mention, but I want to highlight it here. You mean you are obviously one of the stars from The Secret, speaking about the law of attraction. I know your whole feng shui methodology also speaks about how feng shui is the missing piece of the law of attraction, because you're talking about how to optimize the environment. What I love the most about how you live that is, again, you're saying like, well, I don't know marketing, but because you set intentions, you have clarity of vision, you know where you're heading, you have these prompts you do regularly to show you the next answer. And I'd be very confident to state that you probably either have the answer come directly to you, or you have the right people come into your life to provide you with the next steps. And I wanted to kind of reemphasize that in your entrepreneurial journey, how important that was.
I remember when in 2004, I had this download of my home study course, yeah, like the Diamond Feng Shui home study course. And I remember going in meditation and I got this whole download of what had to be in it. And I wrote it on a piece of paper and I had no idea how to bring this, right? I had no idea. The how is always like, I have no idea, right? And then, but I took it with me. And then I was invited to Jack Canfield's first meeting for the Transformation Leadership Council. And, you know, I always say to the universe, you know, I don't know how, but show me the people that know how, right? That's sometimes another request that you can give. And so I was sitting next to this gentleman and he's like, so what do you do? I said, I'm a feng shui master. You know, this is before The Secret, right? And he's like, oh, do you have a curriculum? And I said, what's a curriculum? No idea what that meant, right? He said, well, do you have a name for your work? And like, what do they have to do? The steps? Oh, yes. And I pulled out a paper with this information. And he's like, oh, do you have some famous people that, you know, work with? I said, well, Jack Canfield, John Gray, Marcy Shimoff. You know, there were like several people in the room. And like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then he said, like, can you see energy? And I said, you cannot be a feng shui master without seeing energy. And he was like, okay, we'll get back to you. And this was the number two home study course company learning strategies in the United States, right? With Dr. Paul Shealy. And so they brought me in and they created my curriculum that we have now, you know, I think we sold more than $15 million on the product. And this is like, we brought it out in 2005, just before The Secret. But it was really interesting. It was like, I just got the download and I get so many times I get an idea, right, of a new class, a new thing. So my team knows that. I'm like, oh, Marie got a new insight, right? Sweethearts, this is, that's why I talk to my team, this is what we're going to do, right? This and this and this and this. I wrote it down. Now let's start preparing. I'll get the dates, this, this. And they're like, they trust me because this is how I've been working, yeah, over all the years, yeah? So then at some point, I was like, oh, it's time for me to get a book out with a major publisher. And I was like, show me the how. And then literally Hay House asked me to do the feng shui of their offices. And I'm like, okay, they're the ones. And so Feng Shui Your Life, you know, is a book that we just brought out with Hay House called the Global Bestseller Status. And so it's just, I have these ideas and I never push them away. I'm always like, okay. Like last year on my birthday, when I turned 60, I woke up with the idea, I have to go mainstream, right, with feng shui. So I was like, okay, I need to have a TV show, right? So I don't know how to do this. Universe, show me how, or show me the people. So I attracted an amazing executive producer. We both became producers of the show. And now it's airing within a few weeks on Tubi. That's the Fox platform. So, right? It's just like, I just have ideas. And I just follow through with the ideas, yeah? And I, of course, set up my feng shui for the ideas, and I'm open to work with the people connected with that idea. And it's always like moving forward with that, you know? It's just like, I don't know the how, I have to be honest. I'm like, I'm a smart woman, don't get me wrong. I'm a lawyer from background. But on business level, I don't come from a business background at all. You know, so I had nobody guiding me to do my business and to build up my empire.
Mary, your story is inspiring. It's amazing to see. And I know you're just at the beginning. I know we're coming towards the end of this conversation. I'd be curious to know, now we have the TV show coming out, your book just come out. What's next? And what is the things that is coming up that you're most excited about?
Well, I think, you know, doing more and more television. That's actually my focus. So we already are focusing on the second season. There's another show that I want to do. So it's really like making sure that worldwide people that are not aware of it, what feng shui can do to them in a positive sense. And I've seen this, like I've been on a big media tour in the last months and I've spoken for audiences that have no idea about energy, but they love me talking about feng shui, right? Because it's not so difficult in a sense is that, oh, it's your home, right? Is that I can change something, can paint something. We all have experience when we do something to our home that we feel better. So I got into audiences like conservative radio show hosts or Fox television. Like, I'm like, can you imagine they would be open to energy? Yes, of course they are, because it's explained in a practical, fun way. And so, and also because I am really a master in that field and I know how to talk to people and how to they can really change their lives. And I do this with so much heart, and I think I do it with even more heart and more enthusiasm and more excitement than 30 years ago. I think that's also keep having that passion for what you do.
Mary, you're so much filled with energy. Every time I've seen you speak at events, you're one of my favorite speakers to see there. You're always bringing good vibes, good energy, and you're always so generous with your time. I just want to say a big thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Loving to see the journey that you've been on. I think it's so inspiring for anybody else who is going on this path of entrepreneurship, particularly in the spiritual field or the energy field. And the biggest takeaways I've gotten from you is just understanding that if you don't have clarity of vision, you'll kind of be a kite being thrown around in the wind. So take the time to get clear from an answer within, because once you have that clarity, then it becomes much easier to attract the right thing, not change your order at all times. The practice of your craft, the doubling of your price once you're busy, so that you ensure that the busyness comes first. And then, of course, continuing following the instinct and the path that comes revealed to you, because the how isn't as important as understanding the why and then picking a direction as to the what. Honestly, it's a beautiful journey that you're on. And I know that even as you just turned 60, you're at the beginning of yours. And I can't wait to hear the next things that are going to happen with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's so powerful what you just shared. It's like we always want to know already where we're going, but we just have to follow the next steps that are unfolding for you. I mean, I had no idea when I said, yes, I'm going to enlighten more than 500 million people, that I would ever be on your show, first of all, but I would ever would be in The Secret. I would ever be a global renowned feng shui master with more than a million students. How could I know that, right? So we always want to know. No, but actually it's that surrender to knowing that you will know at the right moment. That is very crucial.
I absolutely love it. Mary, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. And for everybody else tuning in, make sure you go check out the links that I'm putting in the show notes here so you can learn more about Marie's work in Feng Shui. And I highly recommend everybody to go and download the app so you can find out your energy number and to optimize your rooms yourself. There's so much fun that you can have with the app itself. We'll put those links in the description so you can have some fun with Feng Shui. And with that, thank you so much again, Mary.
Thank you.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.